Welcome to the Vet Med Wellness and Leadership Podcast, where we discuss central challenges vet med leaders face, such as burnout, stress, and difficult interactions with clients and staff, just to name a few. In each episode, you will hear about actionable solutions that you can apply to your practice and invitations to connect with fellow leaders who are passionate about improving the wellness of the vet med profession. By subscribing, liking, commenting, or sharing this podcast, you are helping more veterinary professionals find the resources shared in these episodes. Thank you in advance for listening and supporting this show. I hope you enjoy it. All right, hello everybody. Crystal Stokes here, and we have three guests today. The first you may remember from episode number 37 is Dr. Pam Hale. She has held numerous high-level leadership roles within veterinary medicine, from chief of staff to chief medical officer. She is a highly engaged veterinary industry consultant as an operations, startup, and firm-building subject matter expert. She's a graduate from Tuskegee College of Veterinary Medicine and has also earned her MBA from St. George University. Dr. Hale is presently a Juris Master's degree candidate at the at Florida State University. Next, we have Dr. George Malillo. So Dr. George is the founder and chief veterinary officer of Hart & Paul. He's also a graduate of the University of Pennsylvania School of Veterinary Medicine. He has had a long career working in private practice as a practice owner and in corporate veterinary medicine. Dr. George started Hart & Paul with a passion for the profession. His vision was to create a practice for veterinarians and veterinary care providers who he believes have the noblest of hearts, can practice happy, healthy, and successfully. And last but not least, we have Dr. Keith True, who chose a career in veterinary medicine because of his love for animals and a desire to pursue the many entrepreneurial opportunities the field has to offer. In addition to his DVM from University of Illinois College of Veterinary Medicine and MBA, he founded True Vet Potential in 2023 with a goal focused on removing the barriers to practice ownership and providing the necessary business training and coaching to help veterinarians thrive in the field of entrepreneurship. So Pam, George, and Keith, thank you so much for being here today. Pam, yeah, absolutely. Pam, you were the one who really instigated this meeting and bringing all of us together to talk about a really important topic of building and keeping wealth for veterinarians in the profession. So I'd love to just hand the mic over to you and have you introduce the topic and why we're here today.
Absolutely. Well, one, thank you for having me again and the warm re-welcome. I'm honored to be a repeat guest here. But yes, I'm back to continue that conversation that we started about the veterinary profession and brought a couple of like-minded colleagues, Dr. George and Dr. Keith. We've been meeting and talking about the need for vets that lead veterinarians and ownership and wealth building within the veterinary profession that needs to come back, that wealth building that needs to come back to the veterinarians, and also potentially some solutions to how we can help to spur this movement. This isn't my quote, and I'm sure somebody could tell me where this quote comes from, but they say every revolution starts with a conversation. Now, whether we're having a revolution or not, but everything starts with a conversation, and we've been having some good conversations amongst ourselves. And I also know there are plenty of other veterinarians out there that have these same thoughts and concerns about the veterinary profession. I know because they've been reaching out to me, as George and Keith did as well. So our movement is growing, as they say. So I know Dr. George and Dr. Keith have some great insight as well, but we really want this profession to have that leadership by veterinarians. We want veterinarians to reap the rewards of the profession that they went to school for so many years to do. So that's why we're here again. So I will absolutely let Dr. George and Dr. Keith chime in.
And Crystal, I join with thanking you for giving us a forum to talk about something that we're all very passionate about. I've been a veterinarian for 38 years, love the profession, had wonderful mentors who practiced for decades in communities, serving pets and their parents and generations of families. And really, I was inspired to start Hart & Paul just to try and get back to that. Dr. Pam wrote an article, and it's unlike me to reach out proactively in response to an article, but I was so inspired by what she said, and it kind of really solidified everything I've been feeling. Mm-hmm. And for me, the people making the most money in veterinary medicine right now are not always veterinarians. And that's something that's kind of, I just find very, very challenging to deal with. And I think it's time to really make it feasible and encourage people, veterinarians, to be owners in a profession, whether that's as their own practice solo or in partnership with groups that are out there for co-ownership, which may be the best solution. And, you know, the benefit of this was really meeting Keith and sharing, you know, his philosophy about going forward. So I know he'll be able to weigh in addition to what I've said.
Keith, please do.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm chomping at the bit here to say some stuff. So to piggyback off of what Pam and George have both said, you know, I think we've all come together off of a passion about not only what has led to the profession and the state that it is right now, but what we see as what it can be in the future. I don't think there's any argument that the profession is hurting right now. I mean, you have a extremely high rate of burnout, not to mention more significant issues like suicide too. But we want to be able to create action items that hopefully help to reverse a lot of what we're seeing with the profession right now. We've all worked, in essence, our entire lives to get to this position that we're at. And we want to see veterinarians in particular be able to continue to love that profession for the entirety of their careers. And, you know, we did help connect on a lot of the things, like such as what George just said, that the people in veterinary medicine, with the way things have gone to such a corporate side now, the people who are making the most money are not the veterinarians. And you know, I think a lot of that we can trace back to, you know, maybe the way that the profession is viewed right now. I know even when I graduated 10 years ago, and we didn't really talk about business ownership or even just business acumen very much. And we were kind of taught that, or not necessarily taught, but the common conversation that goes around veterinary medicine is, hey, we didn't get into this because of the money. We got into it because we are, you know, loving, caring individuals, which, yes, that's true, but there's no reason that we need to extend that sentence. We can say, hey, we got into it because of this, but because we're doing such a great job, we deserve to make a great living doing it. And I think we need to help flip that narrative of, hey, you could be a great vet, but you can also make an extremely good living doing this. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but you can help control and guide what you want your career to look like through practice ownership, whether that is solo, partnering, co-ownership. There's a lot of different models, which Pam, George, and I are all kind of a part of several different types of models, or have been. So I think bringing a lot of, you know, our minds together, we're really working to even just not only raise awareness, but with our own individual paths that we're taking right now too, is provide that opportunity for these veterinarians to pursue what the profession can and should be.
Great. You know, I can already see where we're going to go in this conversation, where we're going to lay out some models and potential ways that people can be more engaged in this. But let's address some of the barriers first. Pam, I'm hoping you could speak to, what are the barriers that have prevented people from entering into ownership? Maybe it's scared them away, ways of thinking about it that have over time changed. Can you paint that picture for us?
Yeah, I would say definitely over the last 25 to 30 years, we've almost turned into a completely employee-based profession, where we come out of veterinary school and we're told that we are not astute enough to run a business. We have to learn more medicine. And it's hard to get off that wheel once you become an employee. Mm-hmm. But what happened in that process, then a lot of the decision-making around medical decisions, definitely around business decisions, were taken away from us. And then it sort of became a self-fulfilling prophecy. Sure, if you don't get an opportunity to lead and be a business person, then you're not going to learn to be a business person at all. So that's what's happened over the years. That's what I've seen. Now, does every veterinarian have to be an owner? Absolutely not, because in a veterinary practice, you're going to have employee veterinarians. But at the same time, the veterinarians are the ones making the decisions, and that's what's happened. And please know that I really appreciate where veterinarians are going as far as salary and things like that. But you also have to decide, when you're choosing a place to work, What is the governance of that business? Are there other veterinarians that will be leading you? If you're going to obviously a solo-owned practice, that owner is going to be your team leader. But if you're joining a large group, you know, will that be some non-DVM telling you how to practice medicine? And that's what's led, I think, to a lot of our burnout, a lot of our dissatisfaction. We talk about, this may be straying a little bit, but we talk about we need more veterinarians, but we have a leaky bucket. If we don't fix that leaky bucket of veterinarians dropping either out of the profession or out of clinical medicine, then, you know, more veterinarians isn't going to solve the problem as well.
Yes.
I think a lot of it's come from as well.
Absolutely. I think, George, you might have more to add to this.
Yeah, no, I think Pam's right. I think who's leading the veterinarians is a very, very important thing to consider. I know I was very adamant when we started our company that the business leaders at Heart and Paw are only veterinarians. So it's one leader that's a veterinarian. And I think what we can do with such a broad experience, a wealth of experience between the three of us, is really empowering the veterinarians. First of all, you should earn a good living, okay? We're the top 3% educated people in the world, are MDs and veterinarians. And as a result of that, we should have nice houses, travel wherever we want, support any hobbies, charities you want to do, and feel good about ourselves. I think many people have relied on telling the narrative that we're not good business people. Well, I would challenge, we're among the best problem solvers in the world. If we can diagnose patients who can't communicate with us by using all of our senses, you know, we can solve any business problem. And I think getting doctors to realize, first of all, you should have a good living. Secondly, you can be good at business. You have all innate skills that allow you to do that. And then kind of mentor and coach and provide opportunities that meets what their career objectives are.
Wonderful.
That's part of what this group can do.
Absolutely. How about you, Keith? I see you want to chime in.
Yeah. I'm going to branch off of what George just said here. And, you know, I think he's completely right. You know, I mean, yes, in my practice, you know, we always have a veterinarian who's a leader, but now with how, you know, corporate everything's become, my biggest issue is, you know, where with the visionaries of these companies, you know, and our C-suite executives and everything, do they have the same vision as what a veterinarian can be? And, you know, why are veterinarians kind of held back from contributing to that overall vision of some of these bigger companies? And, you know, I think that, I mean, I'm just going to backtrack. And I think probably Pam and George could probably say the same thing. But during my entire, you know, getting to where I'm at right now, I've held every position in a veterinary hospital from kennel attendant to receptionist to vet tech to veterinarian to business owner to multi practice owner. And, you know, I see, to me, like that continued growth and building something is what's exciting. And what I want to continue that, you know, so I don't want to be limited necessarily by, you know, working in one practice or owning one practice. And, you know, that what drives me is that entrepreneurship. It's not for everybody. That doesn't mean everybody should pursue that, but that's what keeps me from getting burnt out and keeps me driven. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, we don't as veterinarians when, you know, I think there are benefits to a larger group of hospitals coming together in regards to the benefits that we can provide our employees, what we can pay them, as long as we live up to what we're preaching. But I think that we kind of limit ourselves as veterinarians. Well, hey, we don't know anything about large business ownership. And, you know, why don't we see the C-suite executives as veterinarians for the most part? You know, I think people like us and people like many of the other veterinarian listeners who are practice owners and leaders, we have a very unique opportunity to bring all of this knowledge that we can't have, you know, collaborate with other people too, and really build something that focuses on the actual issues with the profession. That, you know, like Pam said, we have that leaky bucket. If we create something that we're able to have pride in, be excited by and invigorated by every day that we go in, you're going to start to turn that spigot off. And our shortage problem that we talk about so much, I think is corrected too. So You know, there's many ways to do it. And this is just one way that I think we've all connected on that just isn't talked enough about that we want to raise awareness about.
I agree. I can sympathize so much with many of the veterinarians I've spoken with that so much of their sense of burnout and apathy has to do with feeling trapped, feeling stuck, feeling that they don't have any other options and that they what they envision for their life is not at all what's happening. And so I think this kind of conversation, which opens up ideas for new pathways and shares information about how they might be able to start getting educated and informed is a really good starting point. Pam, could you speak more to the different styles of ownership for those that are listening who might say, okay, I'm curious about this. I feel overwhelmed by the concept. Can you break it down a bit?
And I just want to touch a little bit on what Keith mentioned. I believe we've become disenfranchised from our profession. It's almost like we're being wedges or being placed between us as veterinarians and our professional organizations when we're working for large companies, you know. So there's a bit of disenfranchisement going on, and which leads to that unhappiness because we truly went into this profession to be a part of a group of like-minded professionals as well. So to talk about options and solutions. So we're talking about how do we as veterinarians become the owners, either owners of veterinary practices, co-owners of veterinary practices within hybrid models, which may involve some part of the company being owned by a corporation, but the decisions around medicine, around operations are all led by veterinarians. That is a hybrid model that can be anywhere from 60 to 40, 51 to 50. Usually it's the corporation that's building the practice for you. So of course they may have a higher percentage of the ownership, but there are other models out there where they take minority ownership and the veterinary takes majority ownership in it as well. Because there are doctors that don't want to do it on their own. They've been told they can't do it on those. So maybe this is their entryway into ownership. Obviously they're solo ownership. You go, you get a loan, you open a practice, you go, you get a loan and you buy a practice from one. I know right now, three veterinarians who are looking to sell their practice that they can't find anyone to buy their business. And they're viable, successful practices that are out there waiting for someone to come and say, I have this practice that I can help you buy into or help you buy it themselves, you know, seller finance and things like that as well. So those are a couple ways that DVMs can get into the ownership piece. Obviously, you come right out of school, you might not want to open a practice right away. Now, that was a model 30 or 40 years ago. Veterinarians would graduate on Friday and open their practice on Monday. So obviously that's changed over the years. But so we understand you may want to go out, practice a little bit more, learn a bit more about the business piece. And you can, by the way, veterinarians, we know what numbers are. We can know what a profit and loss statement looks like. We know what money comes in. We have to keep it. And then we can have a profit. We can learn all of that as well. In fact, we did it for so many, many years. That's why we're such a sought after profession. So Keith, any other thoughts on, you know, how do we get these documents in this atmosphere?
Yeah, Pam, something that you just mentioned to me about veterinarians who can't sell their practices. I think, you know, my big thing that I talk to new graduates all the time, and I hire new graduates very frequently. That's, you know, almost extensively or exclusively. But I have a conversation about partnership and ownership at the interview. I think that too many of there's not enough people are even thinking about it coming out of school because we have this mountain of student debt that we're focused on. Hey, I'm never going to pay this off. I can't, you know, and to me, I'm like, you know, the fastest way to pay that off is to take on a little bit more debt and buy a practice because that is one of the best, if not the best investment that you can make is in yourself and something that you can control. That's business debt that is going to make that's going to help you earn more as a veterinarian and allow you to build something. But not only that, but it's going to drastically increase your income. And that student debt is going to be a drop in the bucket at some point. You know, so I think a lot of, you know, at least a lot of what I focus on is instilling that drive, that idea, that passion for ownership and entrepreneurship from day one as a veterinarian and knowing that there's a path to get out under that mountain of debt that you see by taking out a little bit more debt, but that's debt that's going to pay for itself and much, much more. And I think it is going to make you a happier person. So don't be afraid of the extra debt.
Nice. Could one of you, maybe George, speak to the population of veterinarians who maybe they have been practicing for a while, that's no longer a concern, but they are really deep in a corporate practice. You know, they are reliant on that salary. They're reliant on the bonuses. They're afraid of stepping into something different. But at the same time, they are absolutely feeling that burden of lack of control and being able to and just feel hamster on a wheel.
Yeah. To me, well-being, the biggest thing I can provide on my doctor's well-being is autonomy. Having control of what their day looks like, their week looks like, their career looks like. And it may be comfortable to be in a situation, but practice ownership is a way for wealth creation. And that's what I think more people have to say. I actually think it's a great time to be a veterinarian. And I actually think it's a great time to have that owner mindset because there are very, very different options available. And, you know, I think doing it alone, you know, can be challenging. And when I did it, you know, you were doing emergencies and you were late nights and 7 days a week. That doesn't have to be the case anymore to be successful. And I think it really does with kind of an internal kind of assessment of what you want out of this profession, what you want out of the business. It may take a leap going from something comfortable to somewhat ambiguous, but there are groups that are doing a lot of research around locations and what demographics can support a vibrant veterinary practice. So I think if you're going to do it alone, there's great opportunities to do that, to get financing, to kind of, as Keith said, maybe take on a little bit more debt to get to a better place. But if that's not where you're at, there are groups out there that are providing a lot of autonomy and allowing you to have the vision for what that practice looks like, but have that umbrella of support that, you know, you'll win in growing your practice. If there's transactions in a corporate structure, you'll have that percentage where you actually benefit. And sometimes you can rinse and repeat and do again and kind of ladder your way to, you know, amazing wealth.
Wonderful. There's something in there, George, that made me want to comment here. You know, working for yourself, you're working hard. Dr. Keith has talked to us about that before there when he was running his business. You know, you might be working 80 hours a week or something like that, but you're working for yourself. And because think about it now, if you're working for a large group, and there's, please know, we're not, you know, darning large groups or working for corporations, but if there's an option that you want to look at, if you're working for a large group and you're making 150, 200,000, think of actually the money that you're generating for that company to be able to pay you that salary. And if you were an owner and generating that and had other doctors there generating, you also get dividends from your own business. And you're, of course, building equity in a business. And I really wish I'd had someone sort of explain this to me many, many years ago as far as getting into practice ownership. But hard work isn't a bad thing. I think doctors right now, the hard work is monotonous. They're being limited in their what they can do clinically. They're not able to get the relationships they want with their clients because they've been rushed along by someone who's not a DVM or perhaps telling them they have to see 25, 30 patients a day, and it's primarily wellness. And that's not what we went to school for. We actually went to school to build those relationships with people and with our clients. A doctor told me about his first job out of vet school, where he was thrown into an extremely busy, large group practice. And he said within 6 months, he was driving home crying. He was getting home and self-medicating with alcohol. And he was starting to have suicidal ideation, thinking, oh my God, I went to school for 8 years to do this. And he finally stepped back and said, it doesn't have to be this way. And then, you know, he made a change in reference to what he was doing. Mm-hmm. But think about that. That's why doctors are leaving the profession. Those type of stressors placed on them, especially when it goes, when that goodness goes to other people.
Right. And a thing that I think is a trap that I see often, it's not just in veterinary medicine, I've seen it across professions. Our new graduates are very vulnerable. Again, they come out with that, the fear of their financial debt. And then they're presented with options that can be they seem very easy and like a quick way to make money now, the short game. Like, oh, I may have a higher income here. If I went into ownership, I don't even know what my income would be. It's a giant unknown. And it's you know, this kind of perfect storm of being able to offer a new graduate a great bonus, a signing bonus, a guaranteed salary, stability, the sure thing. But the long game of that becomes the vicious trap of what you're describing of having those monotonous work weeks that do not fulfill the connection with clients and pets that you came into medicine for. It doesn't allow for diversity or autonomy. So we're trying to ask people here listening today to really look at the long game and to really think about, step back from this immediate moment and ask yourself, what do you want your life to look like? What kind of medicine do you want to practice? Who do you want to practice that medicine with? I'd also like to see if anybody here on this panel could speak to the current decision makers. Who are the leaders in veterinary medicine aside from veterinarians? And what are some of the pros and cons to having this shift?
Pam and George both have a lot of experience with that. But I'm going to speak from somebody who hasn't been high up in a corporation before. But a little bit about myself. You know, I got been just finishing up my MBA now, and I'm not doing it because I have to. I'm doing it because I want to. And I did see a paradigm shift with, you know, even 10 years ago, what veterinary medicine looked like to what it looks like now. And I saw the shift towards a lot of corporations coming into the space, and you know, seeing these non-veterinarians who are now leading our these giant companies. And I made the decision, I'm like, you know what, I think now is the time to get that MBA. And I will say, as a veterinarian, I don't think it's something you need. I ran successful businesses before it, but it's just another tool that I have. And one of the reasons I went to go do it was, I think there is, you know, almost like a headbutting between veterinarians and MBAs, because we don't feel like we necessarily have a common language. And I went in to get the MBA so I could have that common language with people who are on the business side alone. And I still, you know, one thing that it kind of irks me a little bit personally is when we as veterinarians are only seen as providers of medical care. And yes, that's what we do. That's what we went to school for. But that's not, to be completely candid, that's not what drives me on a daily basis. I love being an entrepreneur. I love creating things. I love building. And I'm able to combine that with veterinary medicine. And that's why, you know, I went into the field. And I think that in order to see the profession and see companies grow to what their full potential can be, having a veterinarian in that, leading that, I think is a very remarkable thing that we can do. And that's not just at a hospital level. That's at a group level or a multi-practice level too, that you can see it. I mean, the opportunities are endless, which is what's so exciting about veterinary medicine. You have so many different paths you can do to what makes you, the individual, happy. And, you know, that's what, you know, Pam and George and I are all doing. We're doing things, you know, in addition to practicing veterinary medicine too. And I think that's what keeps us going and driving. And well, it might not be for something for everybody. Just having that mindset is just exciting, you know. But I know Pam and George can definitely talk about dealing with some of the other business leaders within some of the corporations too, as well.
Yeah, George, please do.
Yeah, I'm not going to, you know, knock groups or things like that. But if you look at the different organizations, very few of the top decision makers, whether it's CEOs, COOs, are not DVMs, or in my case, the MD. And that's the fact. And you know, I think back to what Pam said earlier, everyone should look at the leadership. I firmly believe veterinarians are the best stewards of veterinarians. And if that's not happening, that is going to be a problem. I've been seen groups where, you know, somebody from a kind of a retail experience is leading kind of operations, and they just don't have the same heart. A lot of groups will have human healthcare fields, an easy transition to veterinary careers. And while they might have some success, it sometimes is at the expense of the doctors. I just go back to, we are a very caring, compassionate group. We're a very bright, intelligent group. I never had a business class in my life, and this was my fourth startup. And two of the startups before this were in human healthcare. But I think we have it all with the proper support, trusted guidance. Most veterinarians can have the success they want to do what my mentors did, like I said earlier on, serve communities for decades, generate wealth for themselves and their families, and feel good about it.
Love it.
I often say that our non-DVM leadership, they'll never, most likely, you should never use the word never, they're probably never going to go to veterinary school, become veterinarians. However, we veterinarian leaders, we can easily become excellent business leaders, you know, with you know, learning on the job, formal education. So we can't do it all. I can go spay a cat and then go out and read my P&L. So I think what we're saying is, and I think some companies are finally getting it, you cannot just relegate us, and this is like using a metaphor here, you cannot just relegate us to the treatment room or relegate us to the back of the building and not use us up in the front of the building, in the boardrooms and executive level. We are a veterinary-based profession. That's what you invested in. That's what you came to reap the rewards of our work. Then we should always also be there making the decisions and also be there reaping the rewards of our work. No one should be ashamed of that at all.
Beautiful. For people who are trying to navigate this process, do you have any tips to help them find their ideal workplace, that type of situation that will fit best for them?
I can speak on that a little bit. I'm the most recent of graduates, but I think it's just having an open conversation when you're in your first interviews or interviews in general about what you want your career, what you want your life to look like. And, you know, be very honest about that. I was very honest about wanting to partner early on. I was able to partner in within before my 2-year anniversary. And I made that known when I was looking for my first job. And, you know, it's on both parties too, to be able to pursue that. You know, it's like, yes, I can ask those questions and, but it's also my responsibility as an associate veterinarian to follow up on those, and have those conversations to keep that going. I think we can't rely on our employers to know what we want at all times. So being vocal, you know, being candid is very important in order to guide the type of career and path that you want to forge.
Mm-hmm. I'll jump in and then let George finish up. Just when we're looking at a place to work, we'll say, what kind of equipment do you have? Do you have dental x-ray? Do you have digital x-ray? Do you have ultrasound? Do you have laser? We should also be asking, who will I be reporting to? Who will be my mentor and leader? Will it be a veterinarian? Now I want to know about your corporate governance. Who are your CEOs, your COOs? Do they have any veterinary background? Are there any veterinarians on the board? Please do not just get stuck at the hospital level of looking at leadership, because really the big decisions about a company are made at the board level, and there needs to be a veterinarian representing veterinarians at that level as well. So it's okay to ask those questions.
Thanks. George.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say add much to that. I think knowledge is power. Power is in the veterinarian's hands right now. I mean, the shortage is, this is a very unique time. And I think embrace it, learn. I think what this group, we are hoping to do is to find a way for people to connect and ask questions and kind of look at us as people that are really invested in the future of the profession. And really want to be that arm out to kind of lift others with our degrees up. And I think that's kind of the spirit of this group that we've kind of come together with. So
absolutely.
People can reach out to any one of the three of us. And I know they would get personal, attentive and good advice. Yeah. What our group becomes, Crystal, hopefully we'll share more in the future.
Yes. Pam?
Yeah, we are one of the most admired professions for good reason. I don't think any of us can sit on an airplane and tell someone we're a veterinarian, because we'll never get any rest for the next 2 hours or however long the flight is with our seatmate telling their stories. But for us to have so many people that are disenfranchised, that are hurting in the profession, it just hurts my heart, because I truly chose this profession as a child to be here. And I want people that have chosen it to be happy here. And one way to be happy is to take control of your own future, to take control of your working situation, to ask the right questions, and to be present in that as well. And it's okay. Rome wasn't built in a day. And right now we're a think tank, we're thought leaders, but we're coming up with active solutions, you know, to some of these concerns that are out there that are plaguing the profession. And so stay tuned for that as well. Right now, we're just a group of doctors getting together and expressing our concern. Every revolution starts with a conversation, so we're conversating.
Perfect. So as we're bringing this down the home stretch, I'd like for you to each come to this with one takeaway that you want people listening today. If they're going to remember one thing from this podcast, what would it be? Let's start. I'm gonna put Keith in the hot seat first.
All right, good. So if I had to say one thing, is just be open to the idea that you can be a great veterinarian, but by taking appropriate steps, and such as ownership, co-ownership, whatever that might be, you have a real opportunity to generate wealth and help your career not only grow to what you want it to be, but also create that wealth that's going to make you and your family headed the life that you need. You know, money is not always something that needs to be looked at as bad. It's a tool. We can use our degrees and our business minds to create this wealth that's going to allow our families to have generational wealth, pay for our kids' college, whatever we want to use that tool for. Just know that you can do that in veterinary medicine, and then you're not a bad person for doing that.
Wonderful. Okay. How about Pam?
So one, we've written down that one of our purposes is to educate and empower veterinarians to pursue ownership, wealth building. And wealth building, by the way, also benefits your community. You're building a nice little ecosystem that supports other families, other doctors, other lay staff. You can contribute to your community. You can be philanthropic. So it's okay to build that so that you can help also sustain your community. So that's the whole thing. Sustainable careers while providing communities with long-term care, and also just being happy from day to day. The pursuit of happiness and achieving happiness, they are real things to work toward.
How about you, George?
I guess my thought would be, you are in control of your destiny. Mm-hmm. Not everyone's destiny is the same, but I think start with an internal review of what you want in this profession, and you pretty much can achieve whatever it is. And you can be kind, you can be compassionate, and you could be very business savvy. And I think that wealth creation, I have 5 millennial kids. I encourage everyone, work for yourself. Okay. Because I think ultimately we all have a vision for what we wanted this to be. You can make it happen, but remember, you're not alone. Okay. This is a wonderfully collaborative profession. There's great wisdom out there. Many practice owners have done this. They've become wealthy. They've got practices that have been bought up and consolidated, and they've created great wealth for themselves. That's available to everyone, but they're also very good at giving advice and shepherding. And I think that's kind of the thing to remember. Your destiny's in your control, but you don't have to find it yourself.
Wonderful. I appreciate you all being here so much today. And for those listening, Pam, George, and Keith have all invited you to connect with them. I will put all of their contact information in the show notes, so you don't have to hunt for it. And I'd say if you're even considering it, just reach out and have the conversation. I think that a lot of the fear comes from the unknown. And when you talk to people who have walked the path already, or multiple paths, and know more people who have walked even more paths, they can point you in a direction to have that mentorship and support that you need, and to make this path much clearer, much easier, more certain. So please do take that opportunity to reach out and connect. They are here to support you. And all 3 of you, Pam, George, and Keith, I really appreciate you being here. It's been a great conversation.
Thank you.
Agreed. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you for joining me today. I hope that you feel stoked after listening to this episode. And as always, I would love to hear your comments and feedback. Is there a topic that you want to know more about? Please let me know. And thank you again for subscribing and sharing your favorite episodes with others. It really means a lot.